He entered Jericho and was passing through, and behold, there was a man named Zacchaeus. He was a chief tax collector and was rich. And he was seeking to see who Jesus was, but on account of the crowd he could not, because he was small in stature. So he ran on ahead and climbed up into a sycamore tree to see him, for he was about to pass that way. And when Jesus came to the place, he looked up and said to him, "Zacchaeus, hurry and come down, for I must stay at your house today." So he hurried and came down and received him joyfully. And when they saw it, they all grumbled, "He has gone into the guest of a man who is a sinner." And Zacchaeus stood and said to the Lord, "Behold, Lord, half of my goods I give to the poor. And if I have defrauded anyone of anything, I restore it fourfold." And Jesus said to him, "Today salvation has come to this house, since he also is a son of Abraham. For the Son of Man came to seek and to save the lost."
Thank you, Tom, very much for reading, and thank you, Fee, for praying for us as well as we come to hear God's word today. Just an apology. I want to begin by being a little bit of a grumpy old man, if I may, in my late 50s. I come from an era when celebrities were people who'd gone to the moon in things that were just similar to a baked bean tin, really. They were very courageous people. Not like celebrities today. Celebrities today just go on telly rather than to the moon. But here is what I would see as a real celebrity. This is an astronaut. His name is Chris Hadfield, and he's Canadian. He was commander of the International Space Station. And so he's the kind of guy who, he got to the very highest he could, literally, out of the planet, and the very highest in his career. He saw it all, literally. He experienced it all, and he got it all. But not long ago, he was interviewed, and he was asked this question. "If you could make a phone call, Chris, to your 20-year-old self, what would you tell him?" And what he actually said that he would ring up and say to his 20-year-old self was actually quite eye-opening and I think really profoundly interesting. And it does actually fit in with some of the things that we're thinking about today from Zacchaeus. This is what he said. "I think what I would have been worthwhile to explain to myself at 20 is to recognize that every single person you meet is struggling. I didn't know that then. You tend to see other people as foreign individuals, and I still do sometimes. But to recognize that everybody you meet, every single one of them, no matter how expensive their suit or serious their expression, they're looking for significance. They're trying to do the best they can, and they fail regularly." Well, there's a guy who has really begun to see reality as it truly is. And I think some of the things that he observed about the reality of the world in which we live is here in the part of the story of Zacchaeus. So keep your Bible open. If you've closed it, turn back to Luke chapter 18. Here in Luke's gospel, Jesus is walking very purposefully to his ultimate earthly destination goal, which is Jerusalem. And for chapter 19, we're in, not chapter 18. Chapter 19, verse 11, 28, and 41, let us know that Jesus is nearly there. So the verse straight after our reading, verse 11 says this, "As they heard these things, he proceeded to tell them a parable because he was near to Jerusalem." And then in verse 28, we read, "And when he had said these things, he went on ahead, going up to Jerusalem." And then in verse 41, we read, "And when he drew near and saw the city, he wept over it." So Jesus is approaching Jerusalem, his ultimate earthly destination. And on his way there, he meets all sorts of people that we've been thinking about over the last few weeks. And we as readers, as we hear the stories, are invited to meet Jesus with those people. We're invited to meet Jesus with little children, with a rich ruler, with a blind beggar, and with a poor widow, if you got to your gospel team as well. And today, a cheating tax man that we saw the film, the little video about, and heard the story as Tom read it a moment ago. Each one of us is called to, well, each one of those people that Jesus met, if it's kind of a film, and I can do this because there are some people at the end of a camera today, it's like each one of them looks straight at the camera and say, do you see what Jesus did for me? Do you see the way Jesus treated me? Do you see what he said to me? It's stunning and it's amazing. And so as we draw near again to hear this story of Zacchaeus, it's as though Zacchaeus looks straight at us and says, watch what Jesus said to me and hear him speaking to you. So I've got two really simple things to draw out from the story of Zacchaeus. And number one is this, Jesus and rich cheats, all right? Jesus and rich cheats. Look at verses 1 and 2 again. He entered Jericho, that's Jesus. He was passing through. And behold, there was a man named Zacchaeus who was a chief tax collector and was rich. Tax collector and rich. When the people of Jericho saw a flashy BMW drive by, they sneered and said, there goes Zacchaeus, oozing all his money, wearing his designer clothes and his designer sunnies, heading home for some fine food in the biggest house in the poshest part of town. You know, you want it? Zacchaeus has got it. He's got it all. Absolutely everything you want. But they'd sneer and think, traitor, collaborating with the Romans, taking our money and giving it to the enemy. Chief tax collector? Chief thief? That's what they thought as he went by. They really didn't like him at all. So the question is this, what made Zacchaeus, this despised, hated fella, want to go and see Jesus? Because he did, verse 3 and 4. And he was seeking to see who Jesus was. And I think that's a really important thing. One of the most important things to do in life is to seek to find out who Jesus is. And if you're joining us online or just here in the room and you've just walked in today, it's your first time in church, the most important thing to do with your life is to find out who Jesus is. Well, that's what Zacchaeus is doing. He's very keen to see Jesus, seeking Jesus, but on account of the crowd, halfway through verse 3, he could not because he was of a small stature. So he ran ahead and climbed into a sycamore tree to see Jesus, for he was about to pass that way. So, you know, why is it that Zacchaeus is so keen to see Jesus? Well, maybe he had heard about his colleague in the tax collecting industry up north. His name's Levi or Matthew, and maybe he had heard on the grapevine, you're the tax man grapevine, that Levi had become a follower of Jesus himself. And if you want to, you can read about that back in chapter 5 and verse 27 of Luke's gospel. Luke has already told us about Levi the tax man becoming a follower of Jesus. Jesus was clearly catching the attention of the tax man guilds, the little groups of them up and down the country. So if you flick back to Luke chapter 15 and verse 1, you'll see that quite a few taxmen are regularly turning out to listen to Jesus preaching. 15:1, now the tax collectors and sinners, that's a synonym really, so it's saying the same thing, tax collectors and sinners. Tax collectors were thought of as sinners, were drawing near to Jesus, gathering like Zacchaeus does flicking back to chapter 19 again, to come and see Jesus. So what is it that Zacchaeus goes to find out? Well, what is it that's attractive about Jesus? Well, I think it is as simple as this. Jesus stood out from everybody else for one reason and one reason only, which catches the attention of a tax collector, and that is this. He doesn't hate tax collectors. All right? That's the reason why. Zacchaeus is not going to run out and try his hardest, and those chaps in chapter 15 and Levi and the like, they're not going to run out and go all out of their way to somebody who's obviously very, very influential, who's going to hate you like everybody else. He heads out to see Jesus because Jesus did not hate rich cheats. Jesus does not hate rich cheats. So here we are. If you, like Zacchaeus, cheated other people out of money, the interesting thing about Zacchaeus is if you're like that, then in actual fact, you find if you're a rich cheat, you actually end up cheating yourself. Because money and wealth can cheat you. Money and wealth can actually be very, very deceptive. And I think that's something that Zacchaeus and other tax collectors had begun to learn. They had cheated people out of their money, made a lot of money, but realized that money had cheated them and did not give them all that they hoped it would give them. And money and wealth are deceptive. They're like other things as well. Other things can be very deceptive. A good education can be deceptive. Lots of qualifications can be very deceptive. Success and power, very deceptive. You see, like money and wealth, they hide the reality. They hide the reality of emptiness. And this is what that astronaut was saying. Look around at someone's fine suit, but don't judge them by that. They're like everybody else. They're just a kid inside. They're frightened, worried, and anxious, and trying to do the best they can and making a muck of life. That is the way that it is. These things hide the fact that people are purposelessness. There's a purposelessness in life. There is a brokenness, a sadness. There are failures and scars and fear and guilt and shame deep within. Why would anyone collude with the Romans as a tax collector? Well, Zacchaeus did it for the money, but it exposed his greed, it exposed his selfishness, and no doubt it just made him aware of his shame and his rejection and his isolation. And so when he gets to see Jesus, or tries to, the crowds and just, close the door on him and don't let him through to see Jesus. They don't let him join them. They keep him on the edge. They freeze him out. They shoulder barge him out. Jesus stands out from everybody else. He doesn't hate rich cheats. So verse 5, when Jesus came to the place where Zacchaeus was up his tree, he looked up and said to him, "Zacchaeus, hurry, come down, for I must stay at your house today." What did Jesus do when he came across a rich cheat? Someone who realized that they hadn't got it all, even though they looked like they'd got it all. Someone who's beginning to realize they've got it badly wrong. Realize that they've missed out on the most important thing. They realize that they must see Jesus. What does Jesus do with someone like that who's mucked up so badly but just thinks that there may well be help? I may well be saved from being an absolute idiot and such a failure. Well, what does Jesus do when he knows there's someone like that? Verse 5, he stops, he looks up into the tree and says, "Zacchaeus," uses his name, "hurry down, come down, for I must stay at your house." And verse 6, so he hurried, he comes down, and he receives Jesus joyfully into his own home there. And again, you know, just thinking of this as a story that's inviting us in, it's as if Zacchaeus, again, if it's a film, he looks directly at the camera. Those of you on Zoom today, those of us, he looks straight at you, straight at me, and says this: do you see what Jesus is saying to me? Do you see what he did? Everyone else shouldered me out and barged me out, but he came to the tree right where I was, and he said, come down. I want to come to your house, my house. No one's been to my house for years. Why would anyone want to come to my house? They hate me because I've got my house. I've got my house because I paid for my house with their money. Why would they come to my house? He wants to come to my place. Wow. And he'll say the same to you. Jesus will be seen with you when you might think, why would anyone want anything to do with me? And I know, youngsters, sometimes you go to school and you might think, I got no friends. Other people aren't interested in me. When you feel like that next, don't ever forget this. Jesus is interested in you. And if ever you climb a tree, look down and think of Jesus. Will always be the one looking up at you and saying, come down, I want to join you in your life. He will never leave you. He will never forsake you. Doesn't matter how badly you go wrong, he will still call on you. He is a wonderful, wonderful Savior. And, Zacchaeus is shocked that Jesus comes to his place. And he's not the only one that's shocked. Everyone else is as well. In fact, they all start grumbling. Verse 7, when they saw it, they all grumbled. He has gone in to be the guest of a man who is a sinner. And they all start whinging. Whinge, whinge, whinge. Jesus invites himself into your life, into your home. If you're looking for him, guaranteed, if you look for Jesus, guaranteed, you will find him. And what you will discover when you do find him is this: you will find that he's always been looking for you. And you'll go, wow, I didn't know that. Here's me looking for you, and I didn't even know you knew my name. Zacchaeus, he knew his name. You will find that God has always been looking for you. That's Jesus and rich cheats, or Jesus and anyone who cheats God out of anything, which is us all. We rob him of our worship and our love. That's Jesus and you and me. Secondly, Jesus and lost people. Verse 10, this is the whole point of the story of Zacchaeus. For the Son of Man came to seek and to save the lost. And that's the point of it. Jesus came for people like Zacchaeus. That's why he was going through Jericho that day. He was going to Jerusalem to lay down his life, die on the cross in the place of people like Zacchaeus. And in verse 9, Jesus tells everyone that Zacchaeus has been saved. And although he's been an absolute cheat and a sinful traitor, he's now become a son of Abraham. Look at verse 9. Jesus said to him, today salvation has come to this house, since he also is a son of Abraham. Now, there's a whole load of people in the planet, Jews and Christians and Muslims, will all say that we know Abraham to be the founder of our faith. We have this great big thing that we have. So many millions and millions of people around the world will say, Abraham is ours. He is our father. He is the father of faith. So for lots of people in the world, Abraham has got a deep significance. But, I think we get Abraham wrong. I think we all get Abraham wrong, whether we are Muslims or Jews or Christians. I think we get him profoundly wrong. Which means, I think we just need to spend a little bit of a moment, not long at all, thinking about what it means for Jesus to say to Zacchaeus, he's a son of Abraham, there in verse 9. Because it means, actually, that he's become a child of God, a true child of God like Abraham was. Okay? But I think there's something else going on as well. And we mustn't miss it. He became a child of God in the same way as Abraham became a child of God. So let's get real with Abraham, all right? Most of us think Abraham was a good, wholesome person. You know, people think, you know, Abraham's the kind of guy you can't fail to love. You know, in a British context, you might say he's like David Attenborough, the kind of man you wish was your grandpa. Or like Nadia Hussein, that wonderful cook on telly, the kind of woman you wish was your auntie. You know, salt of the earth. But the Bible says that like Zacchaeus, when God knocked on Abraham's door and invited himself into Abraham's life, it was unbelievable. You know, if you'd been around in the day in Genesis 12 and heard that the living God had knocked on Abraham's door, you would have been just like the people around in Zacchaeus' day when Jesus went and knocked on Zacchaeus' door. You would have said, he's going to eat with a sinner. Because that's what Abraham was. Let me read a little bit of Joshua 24, verse 2. Thus says the Lord, the God of Israel, long ago your fathers lived beyond the Euphrates. Terah, the father of Abraham and of Nahor, and they served other gods. Abraham was an idolater. He was a godless idolater when God walked into his life, knocked on the door, came calling him to follow him, to follow God. The other day, Tanya and I were reading the part of the Bible just after Abraham is called by God. And just after being called by God, he went down to Egypt. And there in Egypt, Abraham lied. All right, this is the father of faith. He lied to the king of Egypt, Pharaoh, about his wife Sarah. He told the king of Egypt, Pharaoh, that Sarah wasn't his wife. She was his sister. Okay? Now you can go and read that story for yourself sometime at home, all right? But it's not good reading. Okay? Tanya and I, we know that story, but we sat there the other day thinking, Abraham's a shocker. I actually used the word moron. Just came out. He's an absolute idiot. He lied. He lied trying to, you know, he didn't trust God's providence that got him to Egypt and God would get him out. He didn't trust God's promises. He started trying to manipulate the situation, but you know, trying to make things work as best he could himself, not trusting God, not trusting God's promises or his providence. He made a fool of himself. What a shocker. So Zacchaeus was a son of Abraham in that just like Abraham, he became a child of God by God's undeserved mercy and kindness. Zacchaeus deserved to stay in the tree. Let's be clear. Zacchaeus actually deserved. The people were right to shoulder him out. They were right. That's what should have happened to him. God should have shouldered him out. It was only by Jesus' love and kindness and nothing else. And Zacchaeus knew it. Zacchaeus knew it, which is why he turns from being an idolater, worshipping money, to actually being a worshipper, which is what verse 8 says. Verse 8 talks about him being generous, but it's really saying he became a worshipper of the living God. Zacchaeus stood and said to the Lord, behold, Lord, the half of my goods, I give it to the poor, and if I've defrauded anyone of anything, I restore it fourfold. That's what he did. Half of his wealth went to the poor. Four times he gave back more than he'd robbed. It must have bankrupted him. I think that's what we're reading here. Why did he do it? Did he catch the charity bug? No. Was it to pay Jesus back in some way? No. There's no way he could have done that. It was because he'd found something better than his money, something better than wealth, something better, someone better. He had found Jesus. Better Jesus had found him. So he could give away all of his money. And by giving away his money, he gave up his power and his security and his influence. And he gave away the things he thought would save him but couldn't. Why? Because he was saved now. Completely secured. Salvation has come to this home. While he had the money, it didn't. When Jesus came, then he was saved. Nothing else and nobody else could. So let me finish by some things which I think God is persuading us of in his word today. Zacchaeus, so different, yet so similar to the poor widow in chapter 21, who, out of adoration and love for God, gave all that she had to live on, 2 coins, in worship of God. She knew who God was. Zacchaeus, so different and yet so similar to the blind beggar of chapter 18, who did everything he could to see Jesus. Jesus opened up his eyes so he could see him. Zacchaeus, so similar, very different though as well, from the rich young ruler we heard about a few weeks ago, who could not give up his idol money and follow Jesus with joy. Zacchaeus, so childlike, like a little child, just a little guy, climbing trees, running around, very excited, making Jesus' home ready for welcoming Jesus. Zacchaeus is a big kid. He looks like a big kid. He's been naughty, like a naughty kid, yet so excited to see Jesus. A childlike way, totally trusting Jesus for everything. I give away everything because I've got Jesus. Only childlike faith can do that. So look back at chapter 18 and verse 17, which I think is the key verse in this section of Luke's gospel. Truly I say to you, whoever does not receive the kingdom of God like Zacchaeus shall not enter it. And those of you who are looking at it know that I've misread it. But I've just changed 2 words or 1 word. Truly I say to you, whoever does not receive the kingdom of God like a child, like Zacchaeus, shall not enter it. So I'm tempted to say be like Zacchaeus, but I'm not going to say that. I'm going to say look at Jesus and you won't help being like Zacchaeus. You'll find a saviour and you'll worship him and love him and follow him. God so loved the world that he saves people like Abraham and Zacchaeus. And the response is supreme affection for God's Son Jesus, joyful worship, secure preoccupation with Jesus throughout our lives. So what's holding you back from that? So often we can do this, can't we? We invite Jesus into our lives, but somewhere along the line we just put our foot in the door to stop him coming all the way in. What's stopping you? Take your foot off the door and letting him all the way in. Seriously, brothers and sisters, Christians, let's stop playing around. Let's be children before our God. Stop trying to keep the door closed. Let him in. Know the full joy of salvation and the free joy of trusting Jesus, the one who loved us and gave his life for us. We're going to sing a final song. We'll sing it in our hearts and someone will sing it for us. Be Thou My Vision. So musicians are going to come out to the front and lead us in our final song. Where you are, please stand. And at home on Zoom, where you can sing out as loud as you're possible and let all your neighbours know that you're happy about Jesus.